Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
It's 100% podcast and no filler.
What antiques are we talking about this week?
Well, you inspired me, as well as a fun little find I had at Savers. Do you want to talk about Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders?
Fuck yeah, I want to talk about Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders. That's the reason we started this podcast 5 years ago.
Like, I'm just off the top. Huge shout out to jewelridersarchive.com.
Hell yeah.
They're amazing. They have their own podcast about this. So if anything of what we talk about today interests you, you can just get hit by a wave of nostalgia, please check them out. I activated a hidden memory by going to Savers and picking up a colorful horse, which I do instinctively, and found out that this horse was Moondance from Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders.
Now, Dee, what is Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders for people who haven't been shiny horse brain poisoned?
It was an early 90s cartoon show with a doll tie-in featuring a main cast of three young women, girls, who were tasked with recapturing a set of powerful jewels to rebalance magic in their kingdom. It had been stolen by a baddie, Lady Kale, which is just a hilarious name.
Famous for her soup.
Yeah, Lady Kale, famous for her extremely good soup. And she had imprisoned Merlin, the great wizard, who favored friendship and cooperation. And so the women girls have to go and rebalance the powers and save Merlin.
Also, the toy commercials had the most earworm jingle of all time.
Of all time.
Did I ever see the show? No. Did I ever own the toys? No. Do I remember the commercial despite being maybe 3 years old when it was on the air? Of course.
Forever. Forever you'll remember it. It turns out the key to unlock all of my memories of the show was actually the Dweezels.
What is a Dweezel?
They are, as the name might suggest, dragon weasels.
Of course. Why didn't I see it before?
They are the evil Lady Kale's minions, and they're kind of cute. Now, what makes them riders, you say? The fact that each of the three main girls has a horse companion, or should I say unicorn companion.
A magical horse companion.
And I forgot what a daddy King Jared is, to be 100% honest with you.
Wow. All right. Okay. We are not even 5 minutes into the episode and already we're here. All right. Let's go.
I mean, you never saw the show, you say.
I tried to watch the first episode on YouTube, where it is available because no one cares.
It's actually made available by the Jewel Riders Archive, thank you.
I'm sorry, it's available on YouTube because the Jewel Riders Archive cares very much. I stand corrected. However, I still could not make it through the first episode. For some reason, since not being a child anymore, my tolerance for children's media has sharply plummeted.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't relate because I love children's media. It was actually in part animated by Hong Ying Animation.
Have I seen their other work elsewhere?
Almost certainly. Did you like Liberty's Kids, for example?
Oh my god.
Did you like Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog? Did you like Gargoyles?
I loved Gargoyles.
Street Sharks? Stunt Dogs? They have worked on probably multiple films and series from your childhood. And Guinevere and the Jewel Riders, this was the most fun to research I've had in a long time. Insider information is that the people who worked on this and loved it were disappointed, of course, in the quality of the animation. Notably, Greg Autore, who was the lead toy designer for the line and has interviewed extensively with the Jewel Riders Archive. They were under immense pressure to put things out on a rapid schedule. And that's why it doesn't look so good as, say, Gargoyles.
I mean, Gargoyles was startlingly good quality animation for children's media of that time.
Yeah, because Disney had the time and money to kind of let it cook. Kenner, however, did not.
Well, that's Kenner for you.
That's right. Guinevere and the Jewel Riders was produced by Kenner Toys, which was eaten alive by Hasbro in 2000.
Vord it was.
Don't bring that in. How dare you?
You're just mad I said it before you got to it in your notes.
I didn't say anything about Vore in my notes.
Uh-huh. Sure.
How dare you? Kenner's probably best known for the Easy Bake Oven, if you don't know who Kenner is. Easy Bake Oven and the Mego Star Wars toys.
Would you believe I'm more familiar with the Easy Bake Oven?
Funny side note for Kenner, apparently they had a huge problem with people going in their dumpster to get, like, rejected models from the Star Wars line.
Yeah, that sounds like Star Wars fans.
They had to start, like, locking the dumpster And, like, usually these are, like, made out of wax.
The dumpsters?
Yeah, the dumpsters. No, the figures. Like, the mock-up figures. Just imagining having to get a broom and, like, chase a man out of your dumpster while he makes off with a vaguely Jabba the Hutt-shaped lump of wax.
I'm imagining him holding in his teeth as he lumbers away on all fours.
That's the correct way, yeah. Now, Princess Guinevere, from the collectibles front, has produced for me a very interesting situation, which I like to call the money-making pit.
So by interesting situation, you mean lucrative eBay side hustle.
If you can find it. Because the notable thing about these is that they only ever had one run of toys.
Oh.
The show got two seasons, the toys got one. Other than a couple of one-off things such as like the Play a Sound book tie-in and party supplies, there were about 8 toys.
Oh.
2 different sets of the 3 main gals, the main guy, and 2 horses.
So, okay. There are 3 girls.
Yes.
They each have a magical horse companion.
Yes.
But only 2 horse toys?
So the 3rd companion meets her horse in the 1st season, and her horse was meant to debut in the 2nd run line of toys.
Oh.
As she had made friends with a magical unicorn zebra.
But with no 2nd line of toys.
With no 2nd line of toys, unfortunately, we only have the prototypes to remember it by.
In the arms of the angels.
The Princess Guinevere toys were actually pretty unique in that their design, for a toy that was focused very staunchly on girls, their design really focused on action figure qualities than the fashion. The fashion was very much an afterthought. They have removable little plastic bits of armor. They have molded-on bodysuits and boots that are more or less permanent. And occasionally, they might have a feature like a tulle skirt or a little ruffle or a cape.
You mean tulle is in the material, because for a second there, I was like, oh yeah, Utila kilts for the Jewel Riders.
Sorry, toile. Does that help?
That does help, but it is less fun. I want them to have full utility belt skirts.
Oh, also, there was a Long John Silver's tie-in. There were 3 Long John Silver Happy Meal toys of Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders, which kind of shows you their pecking order in the cartoon world.
Of all the franchises, Long John Silver's?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
What that bidding war must have looked like.
Burger King, please!
The Burger King will not tolerate Princess Guinevere's usurpation of his throne.
That bitch. That bitch, Guinevere. That's no daughter of mine. To the streets with you.
To Long John Silver's with you, and you'll be thankful for it. Banish it from the Burger King's court.
But this was actually the feature that I was most fascinated by as a kid, because they had helmets. And girl dolls didn't get helmets back then.
Because you have to be able to style their hair. Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, the helmets were designed so that you could still style their hair.
Oh my god.
But I mean, like, what a fucking revelation. If you wanted to be, like, a lady knight, you had Princess Guinevere and Revolutionary Girl Utena and little else.
Brienne of Tarth was with a distant glimmer on the horizon.
Yeah, and frankly, you shouldn't have been watching Revolutionary Girl Utena if you were young enough to enjoy Princess Guinevere.
That said, beautiful anime.
It's one of the best anime of all time. If you Google trigger warning after it, you'll get a comprehensive list, and you might need it.
You'll need it.
You'll need it. So, the sweet spot is that since it had such a really short run, it was cut off in its prime, unfortunately, you make bank when you find them in the thrift stores. Although, I will say this, the prices are not as steep as I expected.
Really?
Which I consider a good thing.
What are you comparing them to in your mind?
My Little Ponies.
Ah.
I'm a My Little Pony bitch.
As you know from our My Little Pony episode.
As you might know from our My Little Pony episodes. So My Little Ponies, the older they are, they climb in price very fast. One of my grails, of course, is always sitting at about $175.
Which, if you find one at a thrift store for 50 cents, a pretty good turnover.
It's an extremely good turnover. And I'll never turn it over because I want it. But an out-of-the-box figure frequently sells for about $15-$20 on eBay.
Which again, if you're picking it up for 50 cents, that's a pretty good markup.
It's good. I like it because it's good money if you are a flipper, and it's not horrible if you want to own one.
It's a nice balance.
I can justify $80 or so for a full set of all my favorite characters. The horses are another matter entirely. I assume just because they're big and who doesn't like a colorful horse, The horse is pretty consistently at $50 to $100 based on their condition. The one I've got, I would guess maybe 25. She's in really rough shape. But it's really interesting to see that it has this limited release, but it still is kind of middle of the road in terms of pricing. I think that's neat.
I think it might be a product of extremely limited run of the TV show, whereas My Little Ponies just kind of never stopped.
That is absolutely part of it. That's actually what killed the toy line. By no fault of Kenner's own, the TV show, very notoriously, would always change time slots, and there was no way of knowing when it was going to be on. It was constantly jumping slots, it was on at weird times, like 7 p.m., which, as a child, is not generally when you're watching cartoons, and they didn't notify, like, the media, like, say, TV Guide, about when it would be airing. You guys remember the TV Guide? Hey, let's be old for a second. Do you remember the TV Guide?
I do remember the TV Guide. I also remember the TV Guide channel.
Which was weird, because at that point, you didn't need it.
Sure you did. If you weren't ordering the TV Guide to be physically delivered to your house, absolutely, TV Guide channel is a godsend.
You do what my family does, is you pick it up out of your neighbor's recycling and just kind of take a, like, you can kind of assume that it's going to be more or less in a certain slot the show you want. Don't pay for TV Guide.
Also, fun fact, worthless for resale, just recycle it.
If it says TV Guide anywhere on it, unless it's signed by John Lennon, it's going in the garbage, please save me. This inconsistency of the TV show meant that kids couldn't watch it consistently, meant that kids didn't care about it, meant that kids didn't buy the toys.
I will say, I was never able to catch an episode of the TV show itself on television. I could not escape the commercial for the toys. For some reason, that had such far reach. The show itself, unattainable.
I know it's copyrighted, so we can't. I wish we could play it.
Well, no, the only reason I haven't been singing the theme song this entire time is because I know I can't carry a tune in a bucket, and you wouldn't recognize it even if I told you beforehand what I was singing.
But it would be funny, so if you're comfortable with it, feel free.
Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders. Was that anywhere near the correct key?
That was pretty good, actually, yeah. That was a pretty good. You know what? That's a 10 out of 10. That's the best you've ever done it.
Metropolitan Opera, here I come.
Yeah, give him a call. You need him in your barn where you sing.
Yeah, their singing barn. They're famous for that. What the fuck are you talking about?
Now, of course, the more different from an action figure the product you have related to the show is, the more expensive it's going to be. For example, if you have perhaps a poster, perhaps the Play a Sound storybook that I mentioned earlier, you are looking at the hundreds, baby. And there was like a really weird assortment of non-toy products that were released. There was collectible stickers from Panini Group, which is probably going to become an episode because I didn't know how old that company was.
Stay tuned for Panini Group.
There was, of course, the, like, Long John Silver's tie-in.
Of course the Long John Silver's tie-in. The first restaurant I think of when I think of toy tie-ins.
There was a bed sheet set, and okay, this is my favorite. There was, in Home Alone 2, a Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders inflatable pool, or plastic kiddie pool. I have trouble telling which from the harsh zoom in.
Why?
There are no other images that this existed. No one has ever stepped forward saying we had a Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders pool, but at least one was used in the movie. Crazy.
That would be the most absolute madness product tie-in prop department search of all time. Like, what?
I'm wondering if someone, like, took home a printed prototype and it just made its way on, like, that's all I could think of that it would have ended this way.
That's gotta be it. Someone takes one home from the factory because they don't end up making it. They lose it in a yard sale, and then some props department in Hollywood picks it up as, like, oh, a cheap children's pool.
It's the only option that makes any sense.
But the second Home Alone movie was contemporary to the Jewel Riders, no?
Yes.
That would be an awful quick turnaround.
Which adds to the mystery.
Truly a history's mystery.
If you have any information on a Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders pool, please reach out to thejewelridersarchive.com. They want to know.
We all do, frankly.
And like, yeah, I am dying to know. I've got to know more about this pool, where it came from, how did you get it, Who are you? What does your father do?
Who sent you?
Who sent you?
What do you know? How did you find us?
Why did you do it? And there are trading cards, too, which was all very, very hot in the 90s. Trading cards of cartoon shows that just had scenes from the cartoon show. Always confused me as a child, still does. I don't get the appeal.
Oh, see, for me as a very small, normal-brained child, the appeal was if I collected enough of them, I could essentially create a flipbook of the show and rewatch it.
Reach out to antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com if you also did this and let me know if you were a normal child.
If you also were an extremely normal child with an extremely normal brain, check us out. Hit us up.
I have got to know how common this was.
I had a nearly complete set of the Lion King cards.
And you just used it to rewatch the Lion King?
Carefully put them in the order of the story in the film and just kind of flip through them because I didn't always have permission to use the VCR, and my parents were rarely in the mood for cartoons. So, if I wanted to see The Lion King again, I would have to go back to my trading cards.
That is incredible. I've never heard that in my life. How common is this? This has got to be. It can't just be you.
I had assumed that was the purpose of these cards.
If no one says anything, like, on the Facebook group, I'm going to contact a scientist.
For what purpose? I've already been tested. We know.
Sorry. I don't mean to make light of the things that make you unique, Ken. Or not. I probably pissed off, like, everyone. Maybe I'm the freak who didn't do that. Yeah, I love this fucking show. Holy shit.
Damn, dude.
By the way, I was vindicated. In one of the interviews conducted with Greg Autore, he confirmed what has been my suspicion all along, that the horses for Guinevere were fashion star fillies that just had rump jewels added to the mold.
Scandal!
I knew it, because when I picked up this fucking horse, I thought, well, this is a weird fashion star filly. We have to do an episode about fashion star fillies, too.
Yeah, we do, because no one knows what the fuck you're talking about.
I'm like an active collector of fashion star fillies, which is not a sentence I expected to say.
And yet is a sentence I expected to hear from you.
Fashion star fillies were a similar 90s toy that were plastic horses. They were trying to, like, ride the Barbie wave because they all had, like, clothes they could wear. And they did, like, human jobs, but they were just regular horses. Like, in fantasy colors. Like, one of them was, like, a bar. I remember it was, like, was specifically, like, a, what do you call them? The roller skate girls at the milkshake factory or whatever?
Yeah, the roller skate girls at the milkshake factory.
What do you call them? What do you call them, broads?
I don't know.
Anyway, one of the horses was, like, one of them. But, like, I couldn't for the life of me figure out how a horse was making milkshakes.
That was the part. Not how did the horse get roller skates on, but how did the horse make the milkshakes?
That was obvious that it was rolled in that these horses do wear clothes. It was the milkshakes that really befuddled me.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm a big fan because, like a lot of people who never grew up, I just really like horses that are in unusual colors.
Would you say they are a horse of a different color?
They are a horse of many different colors. Come check out my new Broadway play, Joseph and the Horse of Many Different Colors. I saw this fucking horse and I was like, that's a fashion star filly. I know it. Because they only have like three poses. And I was right. Boom. Mic drop.
Please don't drop that mic. It was so expensive.
I have to say, I am bitterly disappointed that Guinevere and the Jewel Riders didn't get a third season, because the toys we were going to get for the third season were baller as fuck. They focused really heavily on the action mechanisms, kind of expanding the excitement of the armor made in that amazing clear plastic that we all loved. And they were going to have armor that had, like, expanding action capabilities. Like, Guinevere herself was going to have a bracer that fanned out into a shield. And I would have lost my ever-loving baby mind over something like that.
Hell yeah.
And they were going to make a love interest for the girl that was good with animals, a guy who transformed into a beast, and he was going to have snap on and off parts to make him into a beast and then back into a man.
Okay, that rules.
Ahead of its time, Greg Autore is a genius. If you have any of those prototypes, please send them to me and don't ask how much money you could get for them on eBay. But yeah, I love it.
Good talk.
And I learned a lot about Greg Autore. Turns out he had a not inconsequential hand in Disney creating the Disney Princess line, which is now, like, one of their best producing, like, merchandise lines.
Damn.
He invented Stacy, Barbie's first little sister, by taking a Lady Lovely locks and a Skipper and shrinking Skipper's head in acid and putting it on Lady Lovely locks' body.
Sorry, he beheaded Skipper and put her head in acid?
Yes.
Visionary.
And that was the first, the prototype design for Stacy. What I really want this to serve as a general reminder is that if something looks vaguely familiar and you're in your 30s, mid-30s, it might be worth money on eBay, and you should get curious about it. Because I think it'd be very easy to pass by one of these things if you weren't aware of the show. If you're old, you could be making money off of memories that are not your own. That's a message I stand by.
Yet another tagline for this podcast.
Did you have any questions for me about Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders?
Which one do you want the most?
I think I have the one that I'd want the most. I love the horses. I want Sunstar, the other horse, with the wings.
Ooh, wing horse.
How about you? Which one do you want?
At the risk of being controversial, I have to confess, I don't have any particular desire to own the small plastic horses, but I support you.
Oh, wait, I would also like Drake. He was a boy.
Okay.
He sold extremely poorly because boys are icky, and as a result, he is now one of the more expensive figures you can get. And he wears very tight hose.
Fantastic.
I love the Drake figure, and it uses the exact same mold as all the other dolls.
They just flattened certain areas.
So you basically just have, like, a very stylish twink that you can buy.
And who doesn't want a very stylish twink to keep in their home?
They even used an eyelash screen on his face.
Listen, makeup's for everybody.
That's true. Long before RuPaul's Drag Race, we had Drake from Princess Guinevere.
RuPaul, inventor of makeup for boys.
Sources for today include, wow, you're never going to guess this one, JewelRidersArchive.com.
Really? Of all places?
And their podcast, the Jewel Riders Archive Podcast. Also, shout out to Ghost of the Doll and Wikipedia.
If you would like to suggest an episode topic or just say hello, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. You can post in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends. You can tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com. Or you can check out our Instagram at instagram.com/antiquesfreaks.
If you like to think about horses of many different colors, feel free to scroll on down to wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave us a 5-star review, maybe? 5 stars. Boy, howdy, I just like to hear people talk about horses all the damn time. I don't even know how I got here.
And if you'd like more Antiques Freaks in your week, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks, where every week we read and review a chapter of the Victorian Penny Dreadful, Varney the Vampire, or the Feast of Blood. Special thanks to our patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.